Chapter number 6. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 6. Going to be preaching a message that I try to preach every other year when summer time comes, and I normally preach it on Memorial Day or maybe a little bit before. You say, preacher, what is that message? As some of you already know, it's having a saintly summer, or how to have a saintly summer. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I kind of thought it was a sin to go on vacation and go away from the church, the house of God. Amen. Then I found out there are other churches I can go to. Amen. I don't have to just be afraid to be away from my church. There's other churches out there. Amen. But there's other things as well. They go along with taking a vacation and going away for a while. And it's not a sin, amen. Now, some things that you may want to do may be sin, amen. But taking a vacation is not, amen. And so it is good. Most jobs have break time, leave time, vacation time. And some even have paid vacation time, especially if you're in the military, amen. And other places is just time off that you take, amen. But we're going to talk about having a saintly summer this morning, making sure that as you go, you have a great time getting away. By the way, how many have already planned to go somewhere this summer, even if it's just short? How many have planned a staycation? You're going to stay at home and lock the doors, don't answer the phone, amen. That's good too, amen. All right, Mark chapter 6 and verse number 30. I'm going to read just a few verses here, then talk about some things this morning, pretty much a topical message. Verse number 30 says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Amen. So they must have been pretty busy. And he said unto them, and I want you to start reading with me the rest of that verse. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And the Bible says, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. You know, you don't find Jesus very often in the scriptures telling his disciples to rest. Normally he's telling them to get busy. Normally he's telling them to work. Normally he's telling them, go feed this one, do that, or do this. As a matter of fact, he does the same thing in several other passages. But here, he is telling them to come apart and rest. And as soon as they start resting, guess what? Somebody needs something. And he has to put them to work again. It is inevitable that you and I need rest. How many of y'all are robots? Nobody's a robot. Okay. That means then you need rest. You can't just go 24/7 without a break, amen? Jesus, knowing the disciples were the same way, so we're going to talk about in the event that you get a chance to get a break this summer, get away this summer, rest a little bit, what can you do, what should you do, and then how should you do it, amen? And many of you have heard this message before, so it's not going to be anything new, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on any one point. I just want to make sure that we do, if we can, get away. And get some rest. Never get away from God, but just take a break from what you do on a regular basis and rest a while. Father, thank you this morning for the encouragement that you gave to the disciples. The apostles were very busy, and so, Lord, as a result, you told them to come apart and rest a while. So, Lord, we're thankful that we can rest and still be in the will of God. Lord, help us as we plan to do something this summer, whether it's a staycation or a vacation, or just maybe a few days away with a relative or a friend or at a remote location or a camping trip, whatever it may be. Help us to honor you and to glorify you in that which we do, that which we think, and that which we say. And Lord, most of all today, if there's one that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, that they would come to know you as their Savior before it's everlasting too late. Lord, I need you. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to preach, thus saith the Lord. And Lord, I pray that our hearts will be instructed and encouraged this morning as we plan on taking some rest over these summer months. And we'll thank you for what you've already done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Miss Natasha has our special this morning.
Standing on that mountain top, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us, kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful.
Christmas and Easter and our church anniversary, those are three create time here at the church, that at all possible you could be here. It would be great if you could. I understand sometimes you can't, amen. But if you can, that's why we put a calendar out 1 year in advance. So you know when those dates are at. You kind of plan around those. Brother, I don't know about you, but nothing's disheartening when you have an Easter come around and there's nobody there that's belonging to your church. And everybody that is there is a guest from another church or someplace else, amen. And so those are some times where you really want to try to be here. But we do want you to make sure you get a chance to take a rest and see what's going on in other places. By the way, when you do get some time to go away, you want to be sure to behave like a Christian. Now, Brother Neil, one of the hardest things that I've heard over the summer months is non-Christian people trying to act like Christian people. Y'all follow that? In other words, there are people in the church that pretend like they're saved, but they're really not saved, and they want to go out and try to have a Christian summer, and they can't because they're not saved. You know that doesn't work. You know what you must be? You must be born again to be saved, amen. And when you're born again, then you can go out and have a Christian summer because you actually have the power to do so, amen. But if you don't have the power, guess what you're going to end up doing? Falling into some sorts of sins. Plural, amen. And so the Bible says, except the man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. So the first thing you want to do is make sure that you're not trying to live the Christian life without being a Christian. Amen. And so you've got to be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever should call upon the Lord should be what? Saved. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I can be saved and have the Christian life. And so if I am saved, then I can do what's being talked about here. Notice verse number 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. He said, preacher, what things were these? Let's go back to the beginning of the chapter and notice in verse number 7. And he called unto him the 12, those were the apostles, and began to send them forth by two and two, gave them power over unclean spirits, commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with the sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, whichever place soever ye enter into, and house there abide, till ye depart from that place. Whosoever should not receive you, nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it should be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah the day of judgment than for that city. Notice verse 12. And they went out and what? And preached that men should repent. So they went out and they ministered, and they cast out the devils, anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. So Jesus sent them out by twos into the ministry fields to minister. By the way, if you're sitting here and you have been in the ministry fields to minister, you know it can be tiring. Somebody say amen. Serving God is going to make you fatigued at some time. Jesus was with the woman at Samaria, and it said that he was what? Wearied. He was wearied, amen. So when you serve God, you're going to get tired. I mentioned this before, I'll say it again. We get tired in the work, but we never get tired of the work. Amen. Why? I've got a flesh. And guess what my flesh doesn't want to do? Anything spiritual. How many of y'all want to get up this morning? Nobody. Guess what? This evening's going to come. How many of y'all want to come back to that this evening? None of us. Our body aren't going to want to come back. Our spirit will want to come back because it knows that's right to do. We ought to be here. We want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But our bodies are flesh, and they don't want to do anything spiritual. And so he sent them out, and they were busy. Come over to verse number 30 again. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told them all these things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So he is getting a report back from them of what happened when he sent them out. And so as he sent them out and they are coming back to him, Jesus in verse 31, it says, he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. How many of y'all heard the phrase, come apart before you come apart? Amen. In other words, Jesus said, hey, you've been busy, and so I want you to come apart into a desert place, into a solitary into my body and rest. And so he let them know, come yourselves upon rest a while. For there were many coming and going that had no leisure so much as to eat. Now you know you're busy when you can't eat. Amen. How many of y'all get grumpy when you don't eat? Amen. How many of y'all get grumpy within the next half hour? Probably somebody saying, preacher, it's lunchtime. Come on now, amen. Shut that corner, get on out of here. Amen. So what? Consider just a couple things here, amen, and we'll let you go before so you can go get some rest, amen, get a gospel nap, rest a while, and come back tonight, amen. All right, so things to consider in order to have a saintly summer. Of course, we already considered the first one, and that's make sure you're saved, amen. But the number one, the principle of going away, the principle of going away. We'll discuss that just for a minute. By the way, we should go away if at all possible, amen. They expressed their labors for Christ here. They talked about what they had done. They talked about what they had taught in verse number 30. And Jesus came right back and said, you need to get away and rest a while. By the way, it doesn't need to be far. It doesn't need to be expensive. It doesn't have to cost you anything. It can even be a staycation. Turn off the phone. Turn off the TV. Turn off everything. By the way, my wife and I camped in the backyard before. The only reason we went in the house was to use the bathroom, Brother Gill. Amen. We're not going that primitive. Amen. We camped in the, we went and got us a tent. We rented a tent. We set the tent up in the backyard. We had us our stove. We had all the things out there in the backyard. And no cell phone, no TV, just the potty. That's all we had. And we had some games out there, and we had fun. And it was cheap, and nobody bothered us. What was that? That was a staycation. Camped in the backyard, amen. We did everything but a campfire because this is Arizona, amen. We started a fire in Arizona with a campfire. But guess what? We had fun. We got a little lantern out there. We had our sleeping bags out there. And man, we just had, what was that? Rest. And we wanted to just get away. And we didn't want any interference. And guess what? It was sweet. That was what we had kids to. So it was quiet. It's not quiet. But he says, come yourselves apart and rest a while, amen. So it doesn't have to be far, it doesn't have to be expensive, it doesn't have to cost more. By the way, and this is just a public service announcement, sometimes when you go visit relatives, it ain't rest. Sometimes it ain't rest. Mom's trying to tell you how to raise your kids, dad's telling you what you did wrong and why he's got a knucklehead. All relatives here, boy, you shelter them kids, you should let them watch this and go there and do this. You're like, oh, I don't need this right now. Boy, can he have this? Can he have that? No, 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 and no. Can you watch this? No, no, and no. And that's not rest. And then you know what you want to do when you finally get home? Rest. He said, come yourselves apart and rest a while. By the way, when he took them out to rest, guess what happened shortly thereafter? People found out that Jesus took the disciples out there, and they went out there too, and they said, hey, look at Jesus, hey, let's go. And you know what Jesus told them to do? He had no audacity to come and feed them folk. What, didn't he just tell us to get some rest, Jesus? Well, he had no time to feed them folk. Wait a minute, what kind of rest is that? Well, Jesus, you know, what's the moral of the story? Rest while you have a chance, amen. My wife and I had 20 years of rest, but we had kids, now we have none. And we have to go back to those times when we didn't have kids. Man, we didn't have to get up, man. Sometimes my wife and I, when we get up and take breakfast and go back to sleep all day, but we don't do that. Saturday morning, what you want, honey? I cook it, bring it up there, we eat it, and go right back to bed. We can get it all day. My pastor might just like it now. Now we have reverse role. We can't do it anymore. Now they can do it, amen. But back in 20 years ago, Pastor, I couldn't do it, amen. Hey, but we did. What was that? Rest. When Jesus came, that stopped. That stopped, amen. But when do we get it back? When we give them to Pastor and Mrs. White, amen. I let them take them, amen. Hey, what am I saying here? Oh, we need to rest. It doesn't have to be far. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be expensive. But sometimes even the relatives, and you can't get rest. And so whatever in your budget, you should do something if you can. Amen. The only thing I would say, if you're a minister at Shining Light Baptist Church, let me know when you're going to be away so I can get a replacement for you. Amen. Don't show up and then say, well, preacher, we're on vacation in Tahiti. And you're going to be gone for the next 3 weeks, and I've got no somebody to replace you. And then let me know when you're going to Tahiti. I may want to come too. Amen. And this is awesome too. Amen. So why do we need to go away? The principle of going away. We should go away, amen, if possible. But why do we need to go away? By the way, spouses need to get away. Spouses need to get away. By the way, Brother Neil, the Bible says that God, when he made Adam, put him in the garden. And Adam's job was to what? Work. His job was to work. And so men don't have a problem working 365 days a year without a break. Why? They work all day and they get off and that's their break. And so oftentimes men don't see a need to get away. But wives see a need to get away. Say, preacher, what do they want to get away from? Dishes, chores, ironing, mopping, cleaning, correcting. We still have correcting when we go on vacation, amen. Preparing meals, washing dishes. My children told me, they said, we can't wait for vacation. I said, why? We don't have to do dishes no more. I said, is that right? Amen. I said, well, you still going to do some chores while we're out there. You have to clean the van and vacuum out and all this other good stuff. Amen. But ladies oftentimes see the need to get away. The wife sees the need. The man doesn't see the need to get away. But she wants to get away from cooking, cleaning, dishes, chores, ironing, washing, and whatever else goes on there. So spouses need it. So why do we need to go away, get away? Spouses need it. Jesus looked at the disciples here, and he said, look, I heard what you did. I heard what you taught. You did exactly what I told you. So come ye yourselves apart and rest a while. Who else needs to get away? We need to get away because our sons and daughters need it. Amen. By the way, this generation is nothing like the generation that you and I grew up in. You have them up before, sleep before, they are tired, beat up, and felt like they did 1,000 chores. They lay on the couch, oh, I'm so tired, what'd you do? Oh, I cleaned that one square down there. They don't work like back in the days when they're out there chopping wood and picking cotton. Say, Pastor, why you out there sharecropper, son? They've been out there doing all that yard work and all that work. I mean, my dad had an acre of land with a push mower, and I was the pusher. When I went away to school, he got a riding lawnmower. He figured it out real long. I said, now, wait a minute. Why did you get a riding lawnmower when I went away to school? He said, you think I was going to mow all that old flat? I said, but you had me do it. He said, you know, you damn it, boy. I thought, came back, I put my wife on that thing, too. She ran over one of my dad's trees, and I played it up. You ran over my little twig. I carved it, your daughter-in-law. You would have gotten me, so I played on somebody. What am I saying here? For rest, the spouses need to rest. The sons and daughters need to get rested, amen? But so there are times when you need to get away with just you and your wife. There are times when you need to get away as a family, and everybody needs to get something. Say, preacher, why? Go to verse number 31. Number one, for rest. He said, come ye yourselves apart in a desert place and rest a while. We need to recuperate. We need to get into that place where we can cease and get refreshed and get recovered. We need it for rest. And then we need it for recovery. Look what he says down there. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure. Leisure there means no opportunity, no time. And so they needed some recovery. He said, look, you guys were busy. I sent you out two by two, and you were getting busy. You were doing what I asked you to do. I hear what you taught. I hear what you did. And so you need to come away and rest a while. You had no leisure. And then he said, so much to eat. They needed some refueling as well. And so sometimes you need that refueling. That's what I can't wait to get home. Dad's going to have some barbecue waiting for me, some fish. He actually gave me the menu. He said, what you want? All of it. He said, you want barbecue chicken? You want barbecue ribs? Or you want some fried tilapia or some fried whiting? All of it. Oh, just, I want all of it, amen. And then when you take some back to Pastor White, it'll be done by the time we get home. But I'm sorry. I mean, you know, on the road, last time we went down there, he packed the package for Pastor White. I put it in the freezer for a dollar about it. Then I finally gave it to him. I started eating it, but you know, my dad would have told me on the internet, so I couldn't eat it, amen. But for he said that there was no time to eat, amen. Some of you live for those opportunities. Guess what? When the Pima County Fair comes, my wife loves those. My children, every time we go away and we walk into the house, they open up the door and they say, ah, it smells like home. He said, man, it still smells fresh in here. And then Pastor Mike told us, I said, nobody will get y'all to do nothing you love. I said, imagine if you'd have left the mess that y'all had, I would smell when we opened up that door. And they're like, you would come back on vacation again? But they love coming home. Why? Because they're refreshed. Jesus said, look, you need to get away and rest so you can get refreshed, so you can get fueled, so you can get recovered, and you can get some inspiration there. And so it's for sons and daughters needed, spouses needed, the principle of going away, what's your going possible? Number two, the practice when you go away, what should we do? Well, let me tell you what you don't do. You don't stay away from the house of God. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking these things ourselves again as parents, but exhorting one another and so much to the righteous and the approach. Just because you're away, the practice when you go away still finds you a place to gather and worship with your family. By the way, you're teaching your children what to do when they go away on vacation, when they grow up with their children. Why do you think our nation is in the shape that it's in right now? Because previous parents taught their children what to do, and it wasn't right, and they're doing it now. And our nation is going downhill because of that. So the practice when you go away is to make sure you go away and worship. Notice verse number 32. Jesus is with them. He spoke with them. He said, let's rest a while. But then notice verse 32. And what's that next word? They departed. Jesus, they didn't leave Jesus, and Jesus didn't leave them. They departed as a group into a desert place by ship privately. How do we know Jesus was there? Verse 33. And the people saw who? Them departing, and many knew who? Him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outran them, and came together unto who? Him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw how many people? Much people. So they didn't leave Jesus behind. When you go on vacation, the practice is make sure you take Jesus and go worship somewhere. Amen. Don't say, well, it's Sunday, I'm not in shining light, so I guess I'll have to go to church. It's a biblical principle, not a church principle, amen. And so wherever you are, you still should go to the house of God, amen. And one of the most exciting things for me is to go and visit other churches to see what's going on there, amen. It's an issue they're sticking with the stuff. Some places are not sticking with the stuff. Some places that used to have the King James don't have the King James. Some places that used to have evening service don't have evening service anymore. And this is the reason that I get over and over again. Well, nobody comes. Well, they definitely can't come if you don't have it. Amen. I can see it's Mother's Day or something like that. We don't have service on Mother's Day or Father's Day. But when you cancel it, period. Then I don't know if something's wrong with that. Now, I'm all for, you know, you have that morning service, you have a potluck, and you have another service in the afternoon. I know a lot of churches do that. Praise God for that. But you got to have a place to meet. You got to have somewhere to go. One of the most disheartening things for me, I went to one place and went to church on Wednesday, and there was nobody in the church. I called the preacher. I said, preacher, y'all meeting? Oh, we don't meet at the church anymore. We go to people's houses and that. So I'm not against that. Amen. If that's what you want to do, praise God for it. Amen. But that's not church to me. That's just not church to me. Now, I got to find out where y'all located at when I know where the church is at. Well, wait, where are you at? I'm over here at so-and-so's house. Well, where is that at? I don't even know how to find that. I need to go find another church. Why? No service? What am I saying here? The practice, when we go away, we should go and properly worship. They departed. They went with Jesus. By the way, it's always good to find a good Bible-preaching church of like faith in the area where you're at that stands for the same principles that we stand for here. And is being taught in spirit and in truth. Why? You run yourself the risk of exposing your children to something that is an error if you don't. And then you got to clean that up when you get home. But we went to this one church for a funeral, and they had some women ushers there. Remember? And my son said, Dad, what's that? I said, it's an usher. You see the tag? That ain't Bible. I said, well, you know, that's what they want to do here. We got no jurisdiction over that. We do have jurisdiction here. So I had to explain what was going on. I went up to the platform because I was one of the speakers, and there were some other female ministers that were there. chest. Boy, ain't nothing wrong with them women preachers. There's nothing right with it either, according to the Bible. And I say, find me one in the scriptures. And guess what? They can't. You've got to find a congregation. You've got to find a church that you can go to that's in the same line of belief, like Shining Light Baptist Church. Let me give you a caution in this as well. Don't let your relatives and your friends keep you from going to church on Sunday. They will come up with every good family cause that you can think of. Trust me, I know. They'll come up with every good family cause, every good family vacation, and this, that, and the other, and they'll say, well, this is the only day that we have it all together. And I will say, well, let's go to church together first, and then we can go to this. We'll get you there. Amen. I'm just saying that when you go, family can be very persuasive. They can twist that arm. Boy, you know we didn't raise you up that way. I know. That's why I'm doing it now. Because I'm raising my children up that way. Don't let that relatives and friends keep you from visiting or going to church when you know it's right to do. You're the one that saved, not them, most times. And so they need to see a good Christian example. To him that knows to do good, do not to him as well. See, if they don't know to do right, that's not their fault. You know, we're going to go back home. I've got relatives that are bisexual, homosexual, and all sorts of things, and dressed like women, and just out there. And I can't expect them to do right. Guess who's got to do right? I do. I've got to show them Jesus. Neither can I condemn them for their lifestyle. Jesus does a good job of that in the Word of God. I've got to love them, accept them, and witness to them, and give them the love of Jesus Christ, and hopefully they'll get born again. But I can't go on there and say, well, you're not going to church with me dressed like that. You look like who them done is ashamed of it. No, you're not going to church with me. And neither are you. It just takes saved people to church with me. Guess who needs to be saved? They need to be saved too. And so when you go back home, you're going to have family members that aren't dressed right, don't look right, probably aren't right. Amen. You got to love them. You got to give them the love of Jesus Christ. You got to give them the gospel. By the way, the gospel is only going to change them. If you try to change them, you're going to make them mad, frustrated, and you're going to be judgmental towards them. Give the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what changes people's lives. Amen. So when you go back, don't let people try to get you. They say, "Preach, I don't have a ride car to church." They'll give you a ride. Amen. We do it all the time. Amen. Be a witness of a real Christian. Amen. And so when you go home or wherever you go, ensure you try to go and worship the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to His command, not shining light's command. Amen. Number three, so we know the principle, go away if possible. Amen. Then the practice, when you go away, go and worship. Amen. But then number three, the proper warning when you go away. The proper warning. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Yeah, and most of you know where I'm going already. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, the proper warning when you go. How many hours of the day are we Christians? 24. So if the principle is to go away, if the practice is to go to church when I go away, I need to go with a proper warning. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31 says, what? Read with me. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I've got a proper warning. When I go on vacation, there are certain things that glorify God. There are probably certain things that probably what? Don't glorify God. If I'm eating, it should glorify God. If I'm drinking, it should glorify God. It's hard for me to understand, Brother Hall, how somebody can say, well, I'm drinking this Budweiser to the glory of God, or this Bud Dumber. That's why it's hard for me to drink this Bud Light or Bud Heavy to the glory of God. And they put it all on TV, Hennessy commercials and all this. They put all these rappers in there with the gold, and they're doing all that stuff, and try to make it look appealing to you. They don't show you the people that are drunkards, alcoholics, that are wife beaters because they got drunk. They don't show you that part. They don't show you those folks that lost their bearings at the wheel and killed somebody. But they'll show you all these athletes. They'll show you these people on the beach with no clothes on. And they're having fun playing volleyball. And they don't show you all the other stuff. Hey, folks, I'm a former drinker. I know it is not what they depict on TV. I lived that
church, so nobody's going to know that we're drinking or doing these things. God knows. And by the way, I've got no heaven to put you in, no hell to put you in either. So I'm not the judge or the jury. Amen. And by the way, I've got no rewards to give you. Jesus Christ does. So he says, well, therefore, you need to drink, whatever you do, go to the Lord of God. So I've got to go on my vacation or my outing or wherever I'm going to go with a proper warning. Well, therefore, you need to drink. Hey, Bob says, Corinthians, have newborn faith, desire the sincere good word that you may grow thereby. I need to get into the word of God while I'm on vacation and get into the Bible so I know exactly what God wants me to do. Amen. Choose right places. Amen. Don't expose ourselves to things that are morally dangerous or degrading or that's going to do something. Have some godly boundaries and some guidelines as to what you will and won't do before you get there. Amen. Because if you don't, I told my wife before we went home, I said, look, this was years ago. I said, now look, we go home and go to church. We're going to Sunday school. We're going to Sunday morning. And we're going to Sunday night. I said, we're going Wednesday. She said, well, what if they say something? I'm grown. But you live in a house. I get a hotel if I have to. But I'm going to church. And sure enough, so we got home. People try to talk us out. Did you just go to church this morning? Yeah. Did you go back tonight? Why? Because God said we should and we want to. We don't learn something out of time. I pray for us today. That's not for me. Christ, not for you. I'm going back tonight. Then Wednesday, did you go twice already on Sunday? Yeah. Why are you going here? Because God said, not forsaken, it's for myself. If I can get me food, I'm around y'all. I need something from y'all. God said, that. But you think that, you know, I need some help to be around y'all. Y'all pulling me down. But the way you talk, and the way y'all are discussing things, and nothing about it is spiritual. It's worldly wisdom. It's man's wisdom. And you're trying to put some spiritual caviar on it to dress up to make it look expensively good. And it is no good. You come with a simple plan of gospel, and that doesn't look attractive. Their worldly wisdom sounds real good. Say, where's that God got there? So, proper warning, amen. Therefore, when you're in the crisis, you preach all things that happen in your law. So, we've got to go with proper warning that the devil is out to get you, amen. Have some godly boundaries, some godly guidelines as to what you will or will not do, amen. My children, they see drinking all the time. They see drugs and things like that when we go home. We have a one, amen. This is what you're going to see. These are your family members. You cannot look down on them. Cannot turn your nose up at them because you could be right where they're at, but we're not from the grace of God. God saved me and pulled me out of them because I used to be just like them with the same things that they did when we first got married. I was the same exact way, doing the same things right there with them. By the grace of God, I got saved. He snatched me out of that, pulled me out of that. You guys were fortunate to be raised in a Christian home where now I don't do what they're doing, and I used to. And such were some of you. So I can't go back judging them and say, hey, look at what they're doing. We're just saying, that's not what God would have us to do. Not when they have them to do evil. And so we've got to go with that proper warning, avoiding some places and avoiding some things that we know are glorifying to God, but they're for evil and for something wrong to work on. Then number four, go with the proper wisdom. Let me go away. Proper wisdom. By the way, the devil is not taking any attention to God, but he doesn't take any rest breaks. Go over to 2 Corinthians, but I'm not 2 Corinthians, sorry. Go to Ephesians chapter 3.
possible? But according to my scriptures, it said we ought to obey God rather than man, and God says not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. So if you want to see me, how about you accompany me to the house of God? There's a deal. Some of the arguments that they give you sound good as to why you shouldn't do what you know you want to do. And so we've got to make sure we're standing against the wiles of the devil. I've got to have already formed my mind what I will do. And by the way, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not people that you're fighting against here, folks. If you've got to know that, we go on vacation. I don't care if it's to a family member, to a friend, to a relative. Wherever you go, it's not them. It's the devil. It's not the liquor industry. It's not the people doing all the drugs. It's the devil orchestrating this whole system called the world. And we want to blame the people so often. We don't even blame where it belongs on the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take them to you, how much of the armor? The whole armor of God that you may be able to do it, withstand in the evil day, and what? Having done all to stand. And so when I go, I've got to go with proper wisdom, understanding that I can't allow myself, my family, to get into compromising situations. I got to understand where I'm going, or what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm allowing. And it doesn't take the devil long for an opportunity to present itself when one of your children can get taken, or when you can get taken. Listening to Brother Gibbs one time, he told me he went to a hotel one time, got in there and got to watching a program that he knew he shouldn't have watched. And before long, the devil had him sucked up into an appropriate program, and he was watching live, because nobody was around. It's so easy to get sucked in. It's so easy. We wrestle out of your flesh and blood. So we've got to go with the proper wisdom. We've got to go with the proper warning. We've got to guard against the devil constantly. He doesn't take any breaks or so, neither should we. 1 Peter 5:8. But he's sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. By the way, when it comes to your children, parents, do yourself a favor. Even if they're electronics. Even if they're electronics. Let them go outside, let them do something. Limit the electronics, that includes the TV. Give them a book. Before long, they'll be sucked up into this nation that we're in. My kids, they subscribe to this junior magazine for Christian children. And I like to read the jokes. You know, the overwhelming amount of jokes from all computers and jokes. I mean, the normal jokes, you know, that used to be there, what is an alligator drink Gatorade? What they said, well, if you take an iPhone and put it in a blender, what do you get? Apple juice. Well, those are the jokes now. Why did the song, somebody went to the, why did the cell phone go to the dentist? He had a Bluetooth. These are the jokes nowadays. They're so computer inundated that their jokes aren't even computer inundated. iPhone and Apple juice, or Bluetooth. I mean, where are we at? Whatever happened to the jokes that were not computer related? Amen. What am I saying? Replace this idle time with some good time in proper television. Proper television. Get some activities that are outdoors. Walk, ride, bike, roll, hike, explore, do something. But get away from the electronics. And I'm not saying that you can't have electronics, but you gotta limit that. The accessibility that children have is tremendous. They can get access to some things that are very important. I mentioned before that shooter that shot down in Houston learned how to make bomb on the internet. So we gotta be careful what we do. And lastly, not just the proper. Wisdom when you go away, the proper warning when you go away, the practice when you go away, the principle when you go away, and lastly, the pay when you go away, the pay. You say, for doing anything, pay, don't spend what you don't have. Amen. You know, first of all, the case comes back wrong. What about your credit card bill? Man, you spent money that you didn't have, now you gotta work extra hard, so when you go next again, you'll be so tired, you won't be able to enjoy. Don't spend money you don't have. I know that we'll say that to you.
don't spend God's money because you don't have that either. Amen? So the pain when you go away, don't spend what you don't have, and the time belongs to the time is Lord. So don't go spend your time. And I'll give you even another thing here. Don't take it on vacation with you. What happens if you take it on vacation with you? Money gets too tight to mention where you say, well, man, we can spend God's time and we cannot spend God's time to be guiltless. Amen. Don't spend it, amen. Put God's money aside. Amen. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to have a saintly summary here. There's some things we need to be aware of, some things we need to remind you of. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. I'm sorry, I said 16. 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Make sure we don't spend what we don't have. Give consistently and cheerfully of the Lord all through the summer. By the way, there are two times that marks the lowest giving at Shining Light Baptist Church. One of those times is summer. Anybody know the other time? Christmas. Those are the absolute two lowest times in our giving. Christmas time, which is normally November, December, January, and summer, which marks June, July, and August. Those are the notoriously all-time low giving times at the Shining Light Baptist Church. And you know what still has to be paid? Bills. And you know the electric bill goes up a lot more in the summertime? How many like AC? Hey, we go to spot the money. We didn't like that, we had. But those mark the three lowest times, June, July, and August, and then in the winter months. And so the Bible says, and I'm concerning the collection of the saints, as I am giving order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, what is that? He's saying that you need to give consistently upon the first day of the week. And then he says, let every one of you lay by him in store. He said, you need to give consciously. Put it to the side. Don't spend it, amen. Then he said, give conditionally, as God had prospered him. You know, Gavin reads when I come. Paul speaking about the offering that he was going to collect there, but the principle is still there. I need to give consistently, the first day of the week, consciously, laid in store, and then conditionally as God has prospered me. Don't go on vacation, cross your fingers, hoping not to spend God's time. How many of y'all kept money in your wallet for a while, and then Monday you had to spend it? Amen. You don't spend it sooner or later, amen. And so then you be called a God brother. I don't know what you call that, amen. And so you want to go to your vacation in peace. By the way, if you get paid weekly, how often should you turn? Most of us know approximately amount of our time. We know the exact amount that we promise to get permission. So I need to lay it, store it, and then give it. Amen. So don't go on vacation and pay what you know you don't have, and then you can't give what you know you're supposed to give. That's not smart. It ain't God's house so much. See, preacher, I'm going to do this and do that and do that. Make sure you plan God's time in that. And God's time should not be too much. And so, when we do go away, remember the pain when we go away. God still expects us to be faithful in our stewardship. Now, I do trust you to go away if you get the opportunity. But if you don't get the opportunity, try to stay here. You might just get some time off. Rest of the way. Go back to our text and start in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And I do trust that if you can do what you will, if you can't, then just find some quiet and peaceful, relaxing time, maybe in a park or something that you can leisurely. The main thing is, Mark 6:31, he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart, get yourself apart. It doesn't have to be a desert place, but it can be a solitary place. And when you come apart into this place, the rest of the world, you and I need our rest. We need our rest. You only have one body. And if this body is not resting, it cannot be rest. So many need rest. So many need more rest than the Holy Spirit. Get a 12-month-old and I was able to. Get a 12-hour and I so we have a moment. Things are happy in your life. Teenagers need more rest than the little kids. Guess what? Teenagers need less rest because they're on the computers all night. some of them that are doing the shootings are still kids. And you have to wonder, what did they get in their lives back then? What kind of rest did they get back then? What kind of solitary place did they find back then when they needed something good to get put in their lives? What did they get? So as we look at the summer month, there's a lot of time that we'll have on our hands. And we should get some rest. We should obey the principle of going away. The practice when we go away, we should worship when we go. We've got to make sure we do have a proper warning when we go. The devil takes no breaks. And then the proper wisdom, make sure that we know what we're going to do. And then make sure we don't pay more than what we should. Now we can't get to the Lord. But we still come back to the local church. And the church still must go on. Should we go and rest a while? We should. Use wisdom. Children, don't bug your parents about playing video games all summer long. And watching videos all summer long. Well, everybody else is doing it. You know what the parents say? You're not everybody else. At the end of the summer, they'll go back and say, what'd you do? I played video games all summer long. And you laugh. I had a teenager tell me that. He said, I played video games all summer. I said, all summer? He said, all summer. I woke up and played video games all day. I went to bed and played them some more. I'm not sure if you got it, John. Are you serious? They're that addictive. I've played some of them before. And you want to win. And you keep playing until you win. But you don't win because there's always another level. They're addicted. Grown men are playing games. I went to a preacher's conference, and one preacher told me he had to counsel men between the ages of 20 and 40 on the number one thing, video games. 20 to 40 years old, the number one counseling, video games. We're talking about grown men. We're not talking about teenagers. But guess what? Those grown men were teenagers. So I wonder how they got them. Let's use our time wisely this summer and trust God to work in our midst and work in our lives and have fun. But make sure that we have godly fun, saintly fun, satisfying fun. Fun that you know you're not going to be ashamed of when you come back home. And so folks ask you, what'd you do? And you can say, I did this. And you can say it. But don't shame. You can be glad that God gave you a saintly, safe, spiritual son. Father, thank you for your goodness. God, help us as we spend some of these several months that we have here today, starting the 101 days of summer, looking ahead that we may plan wisely. Well, I know we plan on going back to visit our family. We know there's several things that we'll have to do as in precaution. Well, others are probably going to visit family and friends and attractions and going to see different things and do things. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to apply 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore we eat or drink or sin, we make you all to the glory of God. Help us to make a stand for Jesus Christ and help us to give a godly witness where we go and share and show the love of Christ. Lord, there may be one today that's never been born again. If they die, they're not sure that heaven is their home. But I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, or girl, that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt what they need to do to be saved. The Bible is clear, all of sin that comes from the Lord God, the weights of those same sins is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Maybe there's a man, there's a woman, boy or girl here today that's never trusted Christ, never repented of their sins. God, I pray that man, woman, boy or girl would repent today and trust Christ. Christians here today as well may need to make some decisions on where they're going and what they're doing. Lord, help us to have the principle of rest. But then, Lord, the practice when we go away to rest and worship. Then, Lord, also making sure that we're not doing the things that would go against proper warning when we go away. Then, Lord, using practical wisdom when we go away. Then, Lord, make sure we're not paying more than what we have. Not being able to pay our time or our missions as well. Thank you for loving us. Meet our needs. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and looking around, I'm going to say, preacher, I know I'm born again. If I died right now, I know. testify, you raise your hand and testimony to God, I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. No doubt in my mind. I know I'm born again. No question at all. Hands on the wall. Yes, amen. Amen. I'm going to say, preacher, I'm not sure that if I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not absolutely sure. Would you pray for me? Remember me in your prayer. I won't point you out. I won't pick you out. But I'm going to pray for you. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this altar, preacher, I'm not sure. If I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned. Would you pray for me in your closing prayer? I won't pick you out. I won't come to you. But I do want to see your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Are you sure you're going to heaven? I'm sure heaven is your home. I want to pray for you. And then lastly, maybe you need to make some adjustments in your rest schedule over the summer. Maybe it's for your children, maybe it's for yourself, maybe it's for your vacation, your staycation, maybe it's for a short rest. Whatever the adjustments that need to be made, maybe you need to put something in your schedule this year that you can rest. Maybe you need to put something on your children's schedules that they can rest. Maybe you need to just have you and your husband or wife get away where you can rest. Or maybe as a group you need to get away and rest. Then it can be expensive, then it can be far. But whatever it is that God is leading you to do, maybe you need to make an agreement with God to do what He's asking you to do. Father, bless now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and looking around, let's all stand to our feet. As Natasha plays the hymn of invitation, maybe God spoke with your heart. Maybe you need to pray that God will keep you strong during your vacation this summer. You're going to be around some people that aren't saved. Maybe you're going to be around some friends that aren't saved. Maybe you're going to be at a park or some camp activities where people aren't saved. Maybe there's going to be some activities where your children will go to a camp with other kids all day long and those kids aren't saved. Maybe teach them what a saintly summer is going to be like as they're out there with these others. If they need to take a stand for that which is right. They need to speak as thus saith the Lord. They need to have a good testimony. They need to have strong character. Maybe when you go to that event or that activity, you need to find a good place to worship. Maybe you need to have that proper warning, whatever you need to go to the Lord about. Maybe that proper wisdom. The devil's not going to take any breaks on you. You've got to have the whole armor of God. Wherefore, having done all to stand by, so stand therefore. Maybe you've got to pray that you are faithful and consistent in your tithing. You're not paying on your vacation, your time, your mission. You're not getting away. I don't know about you, but I had too many summers prior to getting saved that were wasted summers and couldn't remember much of what was done that year. The decisions that I made. Once I got saved, God put it in my heart to make sure I'm going to have a profitable summer. But there's some things that are going to be profitable to the kingdom of God. Profitable to others. Others can be saved. Profitable to my children. They can look back and say they've done something practical, something that's profitable. Something that's not going to put them and send them in the wrong direction. Rest. Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while. They had no leisure. Not to eat. I don't know about you, but getting away is something to look forward to. But I do want to look forward to getting away with the peace of God in my life and my heart. Knowing I've done what God asked me to do. Being faithful to He who saved me. Watching Him work in my life. Say, Richard, we don't have much money. We can't get away. Go someplace where it doesn't cost any money. Plenty of places around. Plenty of public libraries. Hey, what can I do that's free in Tucson? Where can I go that's free in Tucson? Where can I do the rest in Tucson? Plenty of things that will pop up that you maybe can follow. Father, thank you. You gave us an example to the disciples. You sent them out two by two to minister. To preach, to cast out, and to do great works. Then, Lord, then you asked for a report. They gave a report that their ministry was fatiguing. Much of what we do today is fatiguing. Lord, our jobs are fatiguing. Child rearing is fatiguing. Homeschooling is fatiguing. Ministering is fatiguing. And you told them to come and eat a part of the measure of life, to cease their activity, recover, complete, refresh themselves. Because there were many coming and going, they had no leisure, no opportunity to eat. God will take your advantage of it. You are able. You've got opportunity. You want something when it costs, and something when it needs, when it's meant, and something when it needs for you. Whatever it is, help us to get that rest that we don't need as Christian folk. You couldn't just sleep in bed a little bit later, but we're going to bed a little bit sooner. You could be just curling up on a book, or a novel, or could be a hobby or a craft. Whatever it is that gives us rest will help us to be sure to get that rest throughout this whole life. Lord, give us as parents wisdom with electronics that our children have that we might not gauge what they do. But we know the blessing of the electronic and technological ages, but we also know the devastation and the burdens and the curses that can be there. So give us as parents wisdom as we regulate and navigate our children's behavior on some of the devices that are out there. Lord, when it's all said and done, if you tarry your coming, help us to come back after the summer months are past and our vacations and staycations and rest periods are past. Be able to say that we've done all to the glory of God, and when we've failed or done that which we know we should have done, help us to repent, confess it, forsake it, get right back up and keep going. Thank you for loving us, Lord. There's one again that's lost, save that man. That woman, that boy or girl, would help us do your bidding in this summer months. Bring us back tonight to hear Pastor White and the message you laid upon his heart. Bless him and give him a store full of knowledge you may impart to us tonight to encourage us more in the word and the work of God. In Jesus' name, amen.